This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Net, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. It's always an interesting time of year talking about pro days and, you know, back a while ago, the NFL Combine, and then you get your individual pro days for the schools and such. And who better to talk to us about what went down last week for the Colorado Buffaloes than the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Mark, my man. I'll admit, this year, this is my first time going. The schedule's never worked out. I went to UNC's yesterday. I went to CSU's today. They're interesting, man. You've been to plenty of them. I want to get your take on these pro days.
Well, it's a great opportunity. Not so much when you've got a guy, you know, like obviously the tight end up at CSU. He's been in the combine. Everyone knows what he's all about. And so, you know, maybe they get a second look at someone like him or you know, Nate Landman for the Buffaloes, who was at the combine as well. You know, they get a second look at them. A lot of times those guys won't do a full workout the second time. Who it's really good for is the guys that weren't invited to the combine. And, you know, at Colorado's, for example, I know there were some athletes here from CSU Pueblo I know came in. I'm trying to think where. I think there were some UNC players that came down, as I recall, for the Buffs pro day last week. And so that's a great showcase for them to be able to kind of show their wares and what they're all about, maybe open some eyes to the NFL. Not that they're maybe going to get drafted, but, you know, maybe look at some free agent deals. So, yeah, it is always kind of a neat deal. I think from Colorado's last week, you know, Nate Landman did about half the workout that he would have done at the combine. He just left, you know, there was a couple of times where the guy who was orchestrating everything said, you know, Nate Landman's going to stand on his time or what he did at the combine on this event. Now, who really, I think, made some money last week for Colorado was Carson Wells. I think Carson Wells is becoming an intriguing player for NFL franchises right now as an edge rusher. So I think he really made some money last week.
So, Mark, with that being said, and you're right, I mean, you kept seeing Carson Wells, his name was just blowing up last week. What do you see? I mean, if you're playing the prediction game, I know it's so hard to do that because sometimes a guy can be first, second, third, fourth, whatever, round talent. But if the team doesn't have a need for that specific guy, who knows? But when you look at a guy like Landman and Wells, where do you see them stacking up in the NFL draft?
I'm beginning to wonder if Carson Wells doesn't get drafted before Nate Landman. And the reason I say that is Nate Landman is a great, not good, he is a great college linebacker. The NFL's looking at him, and I think they're intrigued by him. But, you know, the game has changed so much. If this was 1995, I think Nate Landman would be probably a third-round guy. So a highly regarded prospect in the NFL. I think what I've seen right now, some people have got him projected kind of late, you know, kind of that fifth, sixth round area. I think Carson Wells might find, I'm not going to say he's going to be a first day guy, absolutely not. But I think he might find himself maybe up into that, you know, maybe fourth round area, fifth round area. I think he's really opened up some eyes. He really looks fantastic. I was blown away. I've always been pretty close to Carson, he and his family. And they've got a ranching background, so we've always had a lot in common. And so he walks by me at the pro day. And I said, you look unbelievable. I mean, he is shredded right now. Really looks fantastic. Put up some nice times at a 35-inch vertical leap and really has opened up some eyes. There was a scout there that said to a friend of mine, why wasn't he at the combine? That guy's better than 80% of the edge rushers we saw at the combine. And so I think he's probably put himself I think he's going to end up being drafted, let's put it that way. Where, you know, maybe before that, I'm not sure people were thinking about him as a draft guy. They're probably going to have him as an undrafted free agent.
And why wasn't he? I did wonder that, too, because, you know, as far as Pac-12, big-time player, I mean, I know the years have been great for CU, but ultimately I was kind of shocked that he wasn't, Mark.
Well, no doubt. Well, 2 years ago, you know, when they went to the Alamo Bowl, I mean, he led the nation in tackles for a loss. And so he statistically... But, he really got, you know, and college is kind of funny. And you know, they're always trying to figure out, is a guy going to translate? And then there are guys who get a lot of attention. Nate Landman was a guy that got all the attention, and for good reason. Like I said before, he was a phenomenal college running back, or linebacker, rather. And so he got a little bit overshadowed. He was kind of the Robin to Nate's Batman, if you will. And so I don't think people really paid a lot of attention to him. But once they started getting eyeballs on him, and seeing what he is physically and how, you know, physically strong he is, and he's got getting greater speed than I think a lot of people thought he had. They really said, you know, maybe this guy's got an opportunity in the NFL. And so, you know, that happens all the time. That you know, after somebody finally, NFL teams get their hands on a guy and kind of measure him and time him and all that kind of stuff, they go, you know what, this guy's really got something, and you give him a chance. And I think he's really opened some eyes.
We're talking to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Certainly a cool time, an exciting time. But it is interesting. Mark, it's always so quiet. Is it like that with the Buffs? I haven't been to a Buffs one before, but I was astonished at how quiet things were at CSU today. A lot of people surrounding, as you mentioned, Trey McBride. So there was a lot of media members there. There was a lot of scouts there. And, you know, these guys are warming up for the 40, and it feels like I'm in a library.
Oh, there's no. Hey, and by the way, did Trey do a full workout today, or did he just do a partial workout?
He just did partial. He did not run the 40 at the NFL Combine. So that was the main thing that he did. And then he, you know, caught some passes. They had their new quarterback, Clay Millen. I saw a quarterback warming up, and I'm like, the Rams don't have a guy trying out to be quarterback, man. But they just needed somebody to throw Trey the ball. So do think they'll have a stud quarterback, but that'll be interesting.
And that's pretty standard. Like I said, when guys go to the combine and they're on that fast track, and remember, they try and peak for that. So a lot of times, they'll just kind of stand on much of what they did at the combine. So I'm not surprised to hear that he did just a partial workout today. But that dude is a freak and a half, as you well know. And so he has got nothing to prove to anybody at this point in time. Now, as for the fact they're quiet, yes, it's a business setting. And there ain't no – hey, you know this. If Brady Hall would have started cheering in the middle of that because Trey McBride made a great catch, the whole room would have turned around and looked at you like, what are you doing, Tommy? That is about business. It's about the measuring and, timing and all the things they do in that meat market that the NFL is. They want to look at the guy. They don't want to hear anything from anybody. They just want to sit and let their eyes watch and see what kind of athletes you're dealing with.
It was funny, Mark. At one point, Trey had, you know, he's doing a couple of warm-ups. He looks over at all of us just staring at him like a fish in an aquarium, and he looks and he goes, it is so quiet in here, and nobody even, like, laughed or said anything. I kind of felt bad for him. They all just kind of looked down at the ground. It was hilarious.
It was kind of funny. At CU's last week, there was a couple of guys who came that were not at the combine, and they opted not to bench. And one of the scouts there, I think he was with the Steelers, if I remember correctly, basically turned around and the silence is broken because he turned around and started screaming at the players. Mm. And I'll clean it up, but essentially said, what in the world are you guys thinking? You've got the NFL standing here wanting to take a look at you, and you're not going to compete? We don't want to see you. Don't waste our time unless you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Wow.
So that was about the only barking you heard at all, other than some grunting with the benches at that point in time and then the clicking of stopwatches. But, they're very quiet experiences.
Yeah, the stopwatches is another thing that's interesting because, you know, we're all wondering, what was the time? What was the time? And I had a couple of scouts sitting next to me, and they're like, yeah, they're all going to take their times. Then they'll average it out. But, you know, if McBride, they're going to list his best time. He's going to take his best time and go with it. I didn't even think about that. I guess I just assumed one guy was doing the times, and then everybody would get their notes from him. But they all have their specific guy, Mark. That one was crazy, too. It's like, we got our guy. That's going to be the stop, the clock guy.
Well, it is kind of interesting that they don't have one. In fact, it's interesting they're not using an electronic timer. I mean, we all know. Listen, anybody, you know, plenty of your listeners out there know a little bit about rodeo and barrel racing, for goodness sakes. It's not like it's tough to get a timing system out and have somebody use that for their 40 time to get an exact time. I always find it fascinating as well. So what happens is, when you've been around a number of those things like I have, I bring my own stopwatch and I do my own timing. Now, you know, heck, half the time I'm thinking, I don't know, I might be, you know, 2 or 3 tenths slower or faster than they were over there. But, you know, it is odd that every guy's timing themselves instead of having, in this day and age, with all the technology, we have some sort of, you know, electronic timing going on to give some uniform number for everybody.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. It's a fun experience, though. It's nerve-wracking. It's crazy to me. I'm thinking about this. We were watching Ryan Stonehouse, the stud punter for CSU. That was kind of cool. We're all surrounding an empty canvas stadium today, Mark, and we're just watching a dude punt. And I'm thinking, what is this doing? That him doing it in live action with guys running at him trying to rip his face off is what is this moment doing better than those moments? So I was asking, like, does this move the needle for anybody? And that's on the punting side. I think the bench press, the 40s, those move the needle. But I was curious, as like special teams players, seeing them do it with no pressure at all, does that move the needle?
Well, Brady, and that's the fun thing about this that I've always kind of chuckled at. for most of these guys, you've got 4 years of tape on. You know, so let's just say under normal circumstances, you've got 48 games by the time a guy goes through a four-year career that they've probably played in, right? You've got more tape than you can imagine. So exactly how is a guy going out and punting? Listen, you've seen him punt now for 4 years or 2 years or three, whatever it's been. You've seen what he's done under pressure. Why does this make a difference? The 40 time has never made sense to me. Now, maybe a 10-yard time would make sense to me, but nobody ever runs 40 yards in football unless you're a running back or wide receiver and you break away. But what does that matter for an offensive lineman or a linebacker? The other thing that I chuckle at every year, quarterbacks throw the football. That's what they do, right? And in fact, if you're working out in one of these pro days as a quarterback, you can throw the football. Why do we get wowed over a guy throwing a football? I saw that one of the top quarterbacks the other day, people were wowing, just going crazy over the fact he threw it 55 yards downfield. Like, well, if you're going to be an NFL quarterback, you better that ought to be the minimum you should be able to do. So why are we getting wowed over this? There's no pressure. There's no anything. It's just him throwing to a wide-open receiver. That shouldn't move the needle at all. And so a little bit of this, I think, sometimes is performance art is about all it is. But, the NFL's been doing it that way for a long time, so they want to get their eyeballs on them, one-on-one. I guess, they'll keep doing it that way.
And they don't want them to wear, like, clothes, really. It's interesting to me, too, because they're going to be clothed in the NFL, right?
They want a T-shirt and shorts, and half of the guys don't even wear a T-shirt.
Yeah, right. And I'm just like, come on, man. Carry your pants around so you can throw those bad boys on as soon as you're done running around. It's very interesting for sure. Mark, my man, I think just ultimately looking at the pro day, though, and a lot of guys, they do get nervous, right? They're nervous out there because, whatever they've done to this point, they still get another shot to either add to the, Trey McBride doesn't look nervous at all. The other guys, you could see it. And I was wondering if you kind of saw that, if you felt some of that energy at CU's Pro Day last week.
Oh, there's no doubt. And especially when you bring somebody up, if you're a Colorado player, you played a lot of football. The NFL is aware of you, obviously. If you played at CSU Pueblo and if you played at Northern Colorado, where there's not as much television exposure, maybe they haven't seen. So those guys are going to have that great opportunity. So when they do go there and they come and, maybe they turn in a great 40 time, maybe they run a 4.35 or something, or they have a 37-inch vertical leap, or, if you're a linebacker and you bench it, 25 times, 225 or something, those kind of things can open a scout's eyes and all of a sudden they go, wait a minute, what's this guy all about? I don't know who he is. He's from a smaller division school. I haven't seen tape on him. I don't have notes on him. So maybe you look into that guy a little bit more. And so, there's a lot in the line for a lot of those guys. The Trey McBrides and Nate Lammons of the world, they've been seen by everybody. But everyone else that shows up, they've got an opportunity to at least get noticed. And I think that's about the only thing you can really ask there. And then if you get noticed, and somebody takes a chance on you in a late round or maybe an undrafted free agent, then you have an opportunity. And for a lot of those guys, that's all they can ask for.
Mark, I always wonder what it'd be like a pro day for broadcasters like us. Getting a cup of coffee, talking a little bit, right? And then, announcing something. I would think about like a pro day for regular people. That would be fun.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Well, you do know this. I've done a little auctioneering over the years, and I do that. And although I've never been in one of those competitions, it's kind of like that. If you ever seen an auctioneering competition, you stand up on stage and they go, okay, sell something. Go.
Wow.
And, I guess they could do the same thing for us in the world of sportscasting, right? Okay, Freddie, you've got 20 minutes. Start talking now. Right?
Yeah.
Start describing a basketball game now. Go ahead.
I think it'd be that's a fun skit, man. Let's get a camera guy, Mark. Let's make that happen. You have camera guys.
Oh, yeah. We can make that happen. Yeah, and I used to do that. It's kind of funny when I was teaching young sportscasters at CU, I used to do that with them. Okay, start doing play-by-play. Well, I don't have a game. Doesn't matter. Start doing play-by-play. Describe a game for me. And so that was actually an exercise I would do with my class all the time.
No, I mean, it actually works, though, right? I mean, it does make sense. So you could see why it would be something to utilize. Mark, my man, always appreciate you, my friend. And we'll look to catch up with you next week.
I look forward to it. The Buffs open up spring ball. In fact, this afternoon I'll be out there, so we'll have plenty to talk about.
Okay, this afternoon. Perfect, man. All right, that'll be great to catch up and see if the Buffs can get on the road to that improve, too. So we'll be looking forward to it, my man.
That'll be nice. All right, we'll see you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. 48 minutes after the hour. Let's get a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC. Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you could be with us here. Fun day today, man. Pro day. Listen, we can joke about it, but you know, you talk to the scouts and they're all like, dude, we love pro day circuits. We love getting out and going up to Wyoming, seeing that stud linebacker go at it. CSU Trey McBride, getting to see you, of course, and seeing, you know, seeing what Nate Landman and Carson Wells are doing. We're going to have UNC's Komaite Coffee on the program tomorrow. I think, you know, for a standout for the UNC Bears, you know, he's a guy that's probably going to get some looks. So I know, you know, there was a few media outlets that came up specifically to see Coffee. So we're going to actually talk to him in the studio tomorrow. Dude's absolutely jacked. He got up, dude. He was up on the jumpy thingy when they have to hit the thingies. They jump high and they hit the thingies. I just want to get a player's perspective as to how it feels. You know, just having people staring at you, it's quiet, it's awkward. I would want people talking, like, in the background, kind of. At least not very loud, but something. Certainly a quiet thing. We heard from David Roddy today. If you guys missed any portion of that segment, you're going to want to check that one out. David kind of obviously broke the news on his Twitter account earlier that he will be declaring for the draft. That is news to, if you follow the situation and you know David Roddy and you listen to the whole show, Jades, that is news to nobody. Because David told us as much last week. Didn't say it officially, but pretty much. So it shouldn't be shocking to anybody. That's why you got to follow the whole show. But you can check out our podcast available at thewholeshow.com, also at 1310kfk.com, or wherever the hell you get your podcast. Spotify's, your iTunes, and your Amazons. And what am I missing there, Jades? Am I hitting it all? I think I got it. All right, what's on tonight? Nuggets back at it, going up against the Pacers. Joker, just don't fall asleep at the wheel, man. You got five or six games left. Just dominating these and get that MVP. Let's just take care of business. Do what you got to do. I want that MVP for the Nuggets. I want number two. They're hard to come by. He's right there. He's at the finish line. You just can't trip at this point. 5 minutes until the top of the hour. We got Betting Across America coming up. Love that program. And then we got the Good Afternoon Guy. Nobody better than Brian Gary. Tune in at 3 o'clock for that. It's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Good night, Northern Colorado. Show powered by PDC Energy. We couldn't get confirmation on Chris Dempsey. Is that right? Couldn't get Chris Dempsey on the show. Love Chris Dempsey. He's an amazing guy. He's so good at what he does. Love talking Nuggets with him.
You were the absolute worst.
But we got one better.
Oh, okay.
Tanner Schwint of NoCo Now. We just upgraded here. Don't tell Chris that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you sure? Like, I can take that.
Don't tell him that.
I'm going to tweet at him right now.
Hey, Chris, Schwinn.
Guess what Brady just said?
No, please don't. He's got gigantic muscles, dude. He's huge. Tanner, my friend, you have had a rough week of takes that have been wrong, in my opinion.
I mean, that doesn't make them wrong. That just means you disagree
Will
with
Smith
me.
And...
that was 100% real.
Chris Rock, that was all fake. The Rockies aren't making the playoffs. What else did you say this week?
The Rockies are making the playoffs. It was last week that you hated all of my takes. I put the Steelers in the playoffs.
Oh, that's right. And you think Trubisky's the greatest quarterback ever.
Well, Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I think he's going to win a lot of games with Pittsburgh. I don't think he's the greatest quarterback ever. But, yeah, so those were just – but the Rockies one I stand firmly behind.
Hold on. Before we go there.
Okay.
I was shocked today. Borderline disappointed. And it's about you. I saw a lot of great guys out there running 40s and stuff. I saw one guy throwing the ball. Clay Millen was throwing the ball to Trey McBride and stuff. I thought for sure. It's like, this is your moment, man. You have a year of eligibility left, don't you?
I think I've got four because I didn't ever go to college and play sports. Because
but you graduated, right?
This
How
place,
does that work?
I don't know. This place kind of sucked me in. I kind of like what I do. And I hate working out. So those are the two.
You're the kind of quarterback that I don't think needs to work out. You'd be like the Joe Namath guy back. He's smoking on the sidelines.
I think I could probably play in the NFL in the 1960s. I think you would be like a standout. I mean, you put you and I on a NFL team in the 60s.
We did do pretty good with flag football.
We did.
The two games we played. And then I decided, I don't want to play this anymore.
We were on a weird team.
We were on a borderline team. A team that wanted to win, but we didn't want to put in any extra hours.
But then when we didn't do well,
we got mad at each other. Then we go up against teams that were practicing and they knew routes and stuff. We would all just run the same routes.
Well, and no, I mean like 30 years younger than the majority of our other teammates out there.
That's true.
I was by far, I don't think I was of drinking age
at that
point.
The youngest. Yeah. I was close to the second.
Yeah,
you had to have second
been,
or third.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got it.
Yeah, but I think that team probably would have won a couple of games in the 60s.
Probably.
There's so many people pissed off at me right now. Back in May, they didn't even need fish.
Oh, I love that
so
crowd. It's like, you know, all the guys in the 70s, basketball, football, baseball, they were so much better. I'm like, have you seen Babe Ruth compared to the guys we see now?
And yeah, I mean,
like Aaron Judge.
Any record that Babe Ruth has shouldn't count. I mean, it just
oh man,
it shouldn't. I'm sorry, but there was a large population of people who weren't allowed to play baseball at that time.
That's true. Well, and again, and I do think that he's booing your saying that Babe Ruth's record shouldn't count.
African Americans weren't allowed to play baseball at that point. They are.
So you just get rid of his records?
They don't count. They don't have any meaning for me. They don't.
Wow.
I mean, it's just yeah.
That's
but
a,
and again,
that
you,
a, that's
again,
a tough take.
I
get where you're going with
yeah,
it, though.
Yeah, no, I figured you did. But, I mean, you put Babe Ruth out there right now and Aaron Judge or the Rockies version of Aaron Judge, Sam Hilliard, is taking him 460 feet deep into center field.
All right, so you have the Rockies going to the playoffs.
I'm hot to trot for the Rockies right now. I've got them 85 wins. That is 11 better than what they did last year. They were 74 and 89.
You can fact check that?
Yeah, you can.
Beep, boop, pop, pop. Ah, looks good.
All right. Nobody even fact checked it, just so everybody out there knows. So in the future, if Brady does that, he's not actually looking anything up.
We have efforting music.
74 and 89 last year. They were atrocious on the road last year. I mean, 24 and 56 on the road for the Rockies last year. They can pick up six games there, maybe even seven. That's only four more home wins that they need. And I really like the construct of this team, and I think these guys might be on the general manager Schmidt might be onto something here. They got rid of all the guys that didn't want to be here. They had guys with Trevor Story who had 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Nolan Arenado, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. They've got a team full of guys now that want to be here.
You're very critical of Dick Monfort.
I am. I don't think he's a great baseball owner.
Do you change that, though, if Bill Schmidt turns out to be this great GM and you put this team together and you go back and say, wow, Dick figured it out?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to give him credit. You got to give him credit if that is what happens. I mean, I'm having people on Twitter come after me right now because I do think they're a playoff team. But a lot of people are saying 72 wins at the max. This team didn't get worse. Trevor Story leaving, yeah, it hurts. But some of the rule changes, like that DH spot coming to Coors, is huge. And the depth that they have. So now you've got Iglesias over at shortstop, who, from everything that I'm hearing, is a terrific defender. Now he doesn't have to bat. I mean, you've got so much depth in the outfield. I kind of think the outfield is going to start out this season, and I hope this changes. But I think it'll be Bryant in left, Grichuk in center, and Blackman in right. Blackman should be the DH. He's not a good defender. I think that's what'll happen eventually. But you got to go.
So Bryant at left, Sam at center.
No, I think Randall Grichuk. So
oh, Grichuk. Sam Hilliard. What about Sam Hilliard?
I don't think he's there to start because he was striking out at about a 40% clip last year, and he's one of those guys that. He's going to hit a lot of home runs. He's going to strike out a lot. Joey Gallo, Aaron Judge, Drew Kreisman was on with Mile High Sports that threw that out on my show this morning that he likes the Joey Gallo comparison. This guy's 6'5", I mean, he's a terrific defender, and if he just walks a couple more times, this guy is going to be a really good baseball player. Why I'm buying stock in the Rockies right now is I'm buying stock in Sam Hilliard taking that next step, and I'm buying stock in the Brendan Rodgers. And I know in the baseball world, that's not a bold take by any stretch of the imagination, but this guy has the tools to go out there and be really, really good. The biggest question mark is going to be that relief pitching.
And that's a big question mark. And again, I still think the starting pitching is a question mark.
I mean,
Marquez is he great or is he good?
I would say he's great. He's not elite.
Is Freeland great or is he good?
Freeland's good.
Is Senzatella great or good?
Good.
Or average?
Good. Slightly above average.
Is Austin Gomber or Austin Gombe from the French pronunciation of the word?
Average. I'd say he's average. And Chad Kuhl is average, too, who they got from the Pirates.
He's cool, man.
He is cool. I'm excited about that.
So you have average out what you just said, and you have an average pitching staff.
Yeah, but I think the offense is above average. And I think that when you've got an average pitching staff, if you can keep teams like that in that area, then you're going to be able to outscore a lot of them, especially with that DH. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Connor Joe. Connor Joe has an electric bat. I don't know how they're going to get him in the lineup at some point. Sam Hilliard, who we just talked about. Randall Grichuk adds a lot. I like Ramil Tapia, but I think this was an absolute great trade for the Rockies
to
get
really
rid of Tapia.
You really liked Ramil Tapia.
I did like Tapia, and I still think it was a great trade to go get Randall Grichuk. I like this team. They got Alex Colome coming in as a closer. That's an upgrade. Daniel Bard's not a closer, and Carlos Estevez isn't quite there yet either. But this point, again, from Mark Knudsen that I really liked was, look, if the Rockies starters can go six innings, the Rockies are going to be a really good team. But if they have to put more pressure on that bullpen, it's not going to go great.
That's kind of been the issue. I remember when Bud Black was first hired, you know, it was, hey, can you get a pitcher? Can you get starters past six? What? They solved that. I mean, last year I thought the strength of this team was the pitching.
And you're going to miss John Gray in that rotation.
It's going to go, yeah. And I don't think they're a playoff team. I think they're better than what I thought they were going to be.
That's what the majority of people are saying right now. They think they're going to be improved, but not going to quite make that playoff push. I think they're a wild card team. The expanded playoffs that you have now in the in Major League Baseball. Look, I think the Dodgers win the NL West. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think the Giants take a big step back this year, though, in the NL West. And I think the Rockies battle with the Padres for the second place in the NL West.
Well, I hope you're right, because we're carrying them on KFK, so we have a vested interest. It would be counterproductive for me to root against the Rockies. I like the building blocks here, and I do think that they might be a team next year, but we'll see.
Your leader in Chris Bryant, you finally have a leader here that wants to be here.
That was shocking, though. Like, why did Chris Bryant? I like what Jade said. Hey, come for numbers. Come to Colorado for numbers. You get better numbers. But for Chris Bryant, I mean, he could have got paid anywhere.
So this was something that I didn't know, but I found this out last week, is that when the Rockies drafted John Gray, it was with all expectation that that he wasn't going to be there. They thought the Cubs were going to draft John Gray, and the Rockies were going to draft Chris Bryant. And ever since then, Chris has always wanted to be a part of the Rockies organization, because I think he was starting to look at that, and now he comes in on the free agency deal. You got a World Series champion. You got a former MVP coming into town. Like, I think a lot of people are kind of writing off Chris Bryant here. They shouldn't be, especially in Coors. And that Coors hangover is a real thing. That's why some of their road records were atrocious last year. But they've got enough depth now that I think that there's going to be guys that they can plug and play to make up that difference and really get in for a bid. We talk about the AFC West. It's loaded. You look at this NL West between the Dodgers, the Giants, the Padres, and realistically the Rockies, you could have a four-bid NL West team, a four-bid NL West division in baseball as well. I mean, the Diamondbacks are trash, and you get to play them 19 times, so you pick up some wins there. I really like where the Rockies are at. I do, and I think Marquez and Freeland and Senzi and Gombert, or however the French say it.
But I like Gombe.
However that is. I think they've got enough in that starting rotation to win 11 games. You know, the 82 win mark is where people are kind of looking at to make the playoffs. If I'm a gambling man, I'm taking the over on the number of wins for the Rockies this year. And if they had a bet out there for them to make the playoffs, I'd be in on that as well.
Yeah. Listen, like I said, I hope you're right. I just can't go there with you.
No, I get it. I get it. And there's not a lot of people. I haven't found many people who do agree with me on this. And that's nothing new to me. But it'll be interesting. We've got Rockies Rundown starting tomorrow from 2 to 3. Jerry Schimmel, obviously the longtime voice of the Colorado Rockies, going to be joining me on that program.
Wow. That's going to be a great show.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to break it down. I'm excited to see Jerry's takes on this team, too. I haven't told him yet. I don't know if he's been following along on my Twitter or not, but I haven't told him that I think the Rockies are going to make the playoffs. I'm curious to see what his thoughts are. We just had this whole conversation. We didn't talk about Ryan McMahon once, and he is a stellar third baseman. I mean, he is a stellar third baseman. So I like where the Rockies are. Maybe I'm drinking the juice, but it's delicious, and pour me some more, please.
Eastside Chris, guys, I've always said go 3 of 4 at home, split the road games, puts us around 100. Playoff potential problem is our division. So Eastside Chris kind of agrees with you, which I don't know if it's a good thing, scary thing, bad thing, but
there's somebody out there.
Says, why are you so high on the Rockies? You don't even need the on the Rockies part, and they are always atrocious on the road, is what Pillow Fight Dan is saying.
They are normally atrocious, but last year was, I mean, it was astronomically bad. It was record-setting bad on the road, and I think it was kind of that feeling among the team of saying, look, we just lost our best player, Nolan Arenado. Trevor's probably gone. John Gray's probably gone. What are we even doing here? Like, I feel like that was the feeling. And now at spring training, all reports are people are bought in. It's like, this is our team now. You got a bunch of guys that want to be here. Let's go make some noise. I think that they can. And this team is, they're designing this team the way that they should. Pitching matters. Let's have average pitchers. But let's just blast the hell out of the ball. And they've got a lot of big bats in that lineup. They're going to really, really make some noise.
I'm going to start off 0-3.
No, they're going to win. They're going to win opening
and
day.
And then 3-7.
They start. Remember, they beat the Dodgers opening day last year.
That was a wacky game, though. We watched that right. Rule 105 last year.
It was insane.
I
don't know either.
I'd usually write it down in a journal anytime we hang out. So just like to remember where, okay. Just in case something.
That's
special.
That's weird.
Happens.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we just need to create a notes page and yeah. Then I'll share it to you so we can just.
You like controversial takes. I've got my controversial take coming up next. I've always said Nikola Jokic is coming for that throne. He's getting ready to do what no other Colorado athlete has done.
So I was correct when you asked me that question this morning?
Yes.
All right.
Nobody's done what Nikola Jokic is about to do. 19 minutes after 1 o'clock, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Tanner, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks to you.
We'll be right
words, man. I use all of them right there.
There it is. It's an overtime for you. It's 1:19. Usually you're home by now. All right, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. A Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310. KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, I have a trivia question. I'm not going to make you answer this, Jades. I want to get call-ins for this. We don't do trivia ever. It's an old-school radio thing. People don't do it. Lonster, I'm looking at you right now, man. I think you could win this. I got a $25 gift certificate to the GOAT. And I want to know the answer to this question. Let's see. Call 970-353-1310. You got to answer a bunch. How many MVPs, and who are they, have the Avalanche had? The Broncos had, the Rockies had, and the Nuggets. Call 970-353-1310. I want to put you on the air. We're going to do this old-fashioned style. I want to get you on the air, or you can text it, I guess, but 970-353-1310. I'm not going to embarrass you. It's not embarrassing. 970-353-1310 is our first Advantage hotline. How many MVPs have the Avalanche had? Then I'm going to ask you, how many have the Rockies had? How many have the Broncos had? And how many have the Nuggets had? It's a tough one. I quizzed Tanner on this during the break. And it's difficult. I got a $25 gift certificate to the GOAT, the best sports bar in Greeley, Colorado, in northern Colorado. You guys are Googling it right now. I just know it. And if they don't want to be on the air, they don't have to. That's fine. If they get shy, that's okay. 970-353-1310. Jades will go to the phones. How many MVPs have the Avalanche had, the Rockies had, the Nuggets had, and the Broncos? I'll give you a hint here. Nobody's ever done it back-to-back. Nobody's ever had multiple. Not one guy has had multiple MVPs. Think about that. Nikola Jokic is about ready to get his second MVP. He's just, according to that straw poll that popped up, he is torching it. And, you know, it's absolutely fun to see what he's doing. He's going to be getting it again for the second time. All right. You got the answer over there on the other side. They don't want to get on. That's fine. Avalanche MVPs. So we'll get the $25 gift certificate. People don't want to get on. They're afraid you're going to be wrong, and you were right. Look at that. Avalanche MVPs, Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg. None of them repeat, guys. Forsberg did it. Sakic did it in 2001. Peter Forsberg did it in 2003. Broncos, it's John Elway, Terrell Davis, and Peyton Manning. Go figure, it was their Super Bowl runs. A lot of people don't know this one, that the Rockies have had an MVP. Larry Walker had that monster year in 1997 where he had 49 home runs. And he was killing it. Absolutely killing it. The Nuggets never had one until Nikola Jokic entered the scene. And now he's getting ready to do what no other MVP in the state of Colorado has done. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. I've said this and I wrote about this, that Joker could potentially come for that throne, for that John Elway throne. I think getting a second MVP is the first step, which he's going to get. That's going to be phenomenal. He's going to be the only guy to do it. Got to get a title, though. That's going to be tough. I do think this year, not looking great. But perhaps next year. 28 minutes after the hour, we're going to get Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, on to talk to us at Pro Day. Talk to us about Pro Day. Colorado Buffaloes, how many guys does Mark think have a realistic shot here? So we'll get to that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.